In the terrible aftermath of the 9/11 attacks on our nation, when we found ourselves in the midst of deep darkness, there were many people of great faith and people of little faith, who were asking the same questions. Where was God? How could a God of love, a God of righteousness and justice, how could God allow this to happen? I remember the heavy burden as I struggled to find words to find that Sunday following the attacks. That Sunday morning, over 18 years ago now, this sanctuary was almost full. And as I stood in this pulpit that morning, I knew that people were searching for answers, for something that would help them make sense of this cataclysmic event. People needed to hear a word of hope. Rabbi Harold Kushner was uniquely qualified to address this tragedy, for he had witnessed tragedy in his own life when his young son, Aaron, died of a rare disease. How could a good God, a God of love, allow this to happen to such a fine, innocent young boy and to a family of faith? Well, Rabbi Kushner struggled greatly with these questions. And when he emerged from his personal darkness, he decided that he would write a book. This is what he said: "I am fundamentally a religious man who has been hurt by life. I wanted to write a book that would be given to the person who has been hurt by life and who knows in his heart that if there is justice in this world, that he deserved better. And if you are such a person, and if you want to believe in God's goodness and fairness, but you find it hard because of all of the things that have happened to you and to the people you care about, and if this book helps you to do that, then I have succeeded in distilling some blessing out of Aaron's pain and tears." His book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, has helped hundreds of thousands of people through the years to emerge from their personal darkness. It was 6 years before Rabbi Kushner published that best-selling book that there was another terrorist attack in New York City. On the night of December the 29th, 1975, in the baggage claim area at LaGuardia Airport, a bomb exploded, killing 11 people and seriously injuring 74. Some of you may remember that. To this day, no one knows who was responsible. And then over 25 years later, terrorists hit New York City again on a much larger scale, and people turned to Rabbi Kushner to help make sense of this tragedy. I love what he said. He said God's promise was never that life would be fair. God's promise was that when we had to confront the unfairness of life, we will not have to do it alone, for God is with us. God is always with us. And nowhere in Scripture do we find this truth revealed any more vividly or powerfully than the 23rd Psalm. Can 15 lines from one page in the Bible change your life? I think it can. And Rabbi Kushner believes that these words can change your life. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to open your heart to their power, to listen closely to them, to read them with an open mind and an open heart. And if you do, you're going to find some answers. You're going to find some answers to the questions that you ask, questions about yourself, and questions about the people around you and the world in which you and they live. Chad shared these words with us just a few moments ago, but I would like to share them again. In fact, I would like for you to join me as we recite the words of the 23rd Psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you realize that in those few lines, the distilled wisdom of generations is displayed? It offers us a way of seeing this world that is less frightening. It teaches us to deal with the loss of people that we love, and also how to deal with when we have conflict with people who don't like us or treat us badly. It shows us how to recognize the presence of God at times and in places where we might think God is absent, or we might be so distracted by our own concerns that we overlook God's presence. This has the power to teach us to think differently about life, and as a result, to act differently. As Dr. Kushner said, our world may not be a perfect world, but it is God's world, and that makes all the difference. I have a question to ask you. If the Lord is our shepherd, then who are we? You can say it. I hate to tell you, but that's not a very high compliment. It's not flattering at all. The truth is, sheep are not the smartest animals in the world. They don't take care of themselves. They require, more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. Sheep have the tendency to follow the crowd. They are often timid and afraid. Many times they are stubborn, or they're just plain stupid. Kind of reminds me of us. But the important thing is not that we are sheep. Bless our hearts, yes, we are. The important thing is that we have a good shepherd who is always there, always loving, always caring, always providing, always leading us. When you look at this beautiful 23rd Psalm, there are three movements, like three movements in life. It begins by talking about life the way it is supposed to be. We all want to have the green pastures and the still waters and to be on the paths of righteousness. This is the life that God created for us. This is the life that we want to experience. This is when we can find that abundant life that is in the 10th chapter of John's gospel. But we often find out way too early in life, and we all know that we don't remain in the green pastures, do we? That we soon find ourselves in those deep, dark valleys. We find ourselves confronting our enemies. We find ourselves searching for some answers. But thank goodness, this psalm does not end with dark valleys, but rather it continues with a promise of restoration and hope, that when we are in the presence of our enemies, that God will care for us. When we are hurt, He will anoint us with healing oil. And goodness and mercy, I know the King James says, shall follow us. But the better translation is, shall pursue us. Goodness and mercy will pursue us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The main message of the 23rd Psalm is simply this: God is with us. God is always with us. And if you look at Scripture, beginning of the book of Genesis all the way through the end, that is a promise that we find over and over and over. In the book of Genesis, the 26th chapter, when God appeared to Isaac, He said, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." You remember the story of Joseph? When Joseph found himself in Egypt, when he found himself in prison, in the 39th chapter of Genesis, four different times, God promises to be with him. And then in the third chapter of Exodus, at that pivotal moment when Moses is standing before the burning bush, and he encounters the presence of the living God, and God orders him to go into the presence of old Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." And Moses said, "You've got the wrong person. I'm not qualified to do this. I don't want to do this." And God responded by saying, "But I will be with you. You don't have to be afraid. I will be with you." In the book of Judges, God spoke to Gideon, saying, "The Lord is with you, almighty warrior." When Jeremiah received his call of God and he said, "I'm not worthy, I'm not qualified, I don't have the experience, I'm not equipped," God responded by saying, "Do not be afraid, I will be with you." And when the Apostle Paul one time was ready to give up on his missionary journey, he was ready to throw in the towel, God responded in the 18th chapter of Acts, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not be silent, for I am with you." And in the first chapter of Matthew, when Joseph is struggling over what to do with his betrothed Mary, the angel appears to him and says, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for she will bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." That means God is with you. Any questions? God is with us. And when we look at the 23rd Psalm in the beautiful King James Version, and I thought it was wonderful, and I knew this would happen when we started quoting it. What version do we just automatically comes to mind? King James. And Chad, I didn't say anything to Chad about which translation, but I knew that he would read it out of the King James Version. King James Version, there are 123 words. But if you could read it in the original Hebrew, there are 57 words. And in those 57 words, we have a whole theology. A theology that's powerful and profound, but not simplistic. You see, the 23rd Psalm begins, "The Lord." The Lord is my shepherd. In Hebrew, Yahweh. The first word is Yahweh. And in the Hebrew, the last word of the 23rd Psalm is Yahweh. It begins with God and it ends with God. Well, we know that. We know that life begins with God. We know that life ends with God. But what about in between? Well, of those 57 words in the Hebrew, beginning with Yahweh, there are 26 words leading up to an expression. And then following that expression, there are 26 words. Literally, in the very heart of the 23rd Psalm are the words, "For thou art with me." We begin with God. We end with God. In the very middle is God. But what about those green pastures? When life is going well and we feel like we're self-sufficient, we don't have a care in the world. Sometimes we forget about God. And then later on, when we find ourselves in the midst of that deep, dark valley, we wonder where God is. 26 words. 26 words. The Hebrew people engaged in a practice called gematria, in which they assigned numerical value to names. Every name had a numerical value. So the way it worked was this. If you assign 1 to the first letter of the alphabet, like in English, 1 would be A, B would be 2. You go all the way through to Z, and that would be 26. So let's take a name. Let's take a simple name, Ray. Pretty simple name, 3 letters. But R is the 18th letter in the alphabet. Y is the 25th letter in the alphabet. A is the first. You add it all together, my number is 44. I don't know what that means, but I'm number 44. If you take the letters for Yahweh and add their numerical value, you get 26. Yahweh is my shepherd. 26 words. For thou art with me. 26 words ending with Yahweh. God is at the beginning. God is in the middle. God is in the end. And God is all the way through, even when we don't see it. In 1975, my sister graduated from law school. She married a lawyer. I performed their wedding. And shortly after the wedding, Jack and Nancy moved to New York. I'll always remember the journey up there. My father and my little brother drove a U-Haul. I drove my sister's car. I had all the words on the back of that U-Haul memorized by the time we got to New York. We moved my sister into an apartment, and we said goodbye. It was very difficult for my mother and my grandmother to let my sister go. There she was. Now, we were in Alabama. New York was like a foreign country. She had moved way, way away from home. But my sister made a promise. She said, "Don't worry, Jack and I are coming home for Christmas. You can count on us. We'll be home for Christmas." Well, my mother and my grandmother put it into high gear. They were preparing for the best Christmas ever because Nancy was coming home. I don't know if it was a week or just a few days before, They had already booked their airplane tickets and all of that. But my sister called and said, we're not going to be able to come. I forget why, but they couldn't come. I remember that Christmas of 1975. It was a somber Christmas. It was a sad Christmas. It was the first time we hadn't all been together. In fact, my mother just couldn't understand why she didn't come home. 4 days after Christmas, on December the 29th, the phone rang. My mother answered the phone and my sister said, have you heard the news? She said there was a bomb that went off at LaGuardia. A whole lot of people were killed and a lot of people were injured. And my mother said, that's terrible. And my sister said, you don't understand. If we had come home, that was the flight we were booked on. We would have been standing at the baggage claim when that bomb went off. For thou art with me.